what we're seeing is like an overcompensation of like the salesperson that's just like, I'm gonna come in so excited about this as like a coping mechanism or a defense mechanism.
Welcome to Data-Driven Selling by the Sales Insights Lab, the podcast that helps reps and business owners generate more meetings and close more sales at higher prices. All right, I am here with our head coach at the Sales Insights Lab, Tiffany Torres. And we're excited to jump right into the topic of the day, which is how to disarm your prospects by using better tonality. And so, Tiffany, why don't we just kick it off with even just an assessment of how much does tonality actually matter in the first place?
Yeah, I think tonality is one of those things that really can get ignored when you're practicing and things like that. And it makes a huge difference. I mean, even internally in my organization, we see people that are newer to using scripts for prospecting calls and stuff like that only make an appointment out of every 60 or 80 to dial. So that's one out of 60 to 80 versus somebody that has a lot of experience. I can set an appointment out of every 20. So one out of 20.
Wow. So you're saying that using the exact same script, the same approach, yet you can be three times more effective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that in general. I was going to think of it in a different way. And so I'd be curious to just frame this up, tee it up this way for you is like, let's just say you have two variables. And I know we're oversimplifying it, but let's just say one variable is the strategy and the kind of the technique and the process that we're using. And the other is the tonality. So you basically like, let's just say you have kind of four quadrants of this possibility. Like one is you have someone who is using the sales insights method fanatically and kind of as like truly fundamentally, but either has good tonality or bad tonality. And then on the other hand, you have someone who is using, let's say, like a more kind of traditional, like show up and throw up pitchy type of approach, but either has good tonality or bad tonality. So let's kind of take the two extremes of that. Who do you think wins? And I obviously we don't really know, but like, who do you think wins? The guy that's using the sales insights method, but has really bad tonality, or the person who's using kind of a traditional approach, but has great tonality?
I think tonality is just so important. The thing is, so I think tonality really betrays your mindsets, and mindsets are huge. Mindsets are confidence and everything else. But I will also say that even with great mindsets, if you don't have the structure to consistently apply those great mindsets, you're going to fall to pieces and it's going to be really hard to maintain that. So, this is a really hard one to say. I don't know if I can come up with an answer.
Obviously. I mean, it's also a false premise because obviously someone who's using a traditional approach is probably going to sound like have a more cheesy tonality anyways. It's unlikely that you're going to get someone who's, so I won't make you answer it. I think it's about half and half though. Like, I think they're pretty even. I think that's pretty close. I think that's what a lot of top performers are in other worlds that don't use, let's say, a modern approach to selling. They're just good because their tonality and their confidence is so strong and it just oozes through.
But I think that sometimes like when we're looking at like that enthusiasm, that sounding cheesy kind of concept, what we're seeing is like an overcompensation of like the salesperson that's just like, I'm going to come in so excited about this as like a coping mechanism or a defense mechanism to try to prevent the prospect from being squirrely about it. And what we find is that just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a tell. It's such a tell. So let's kind of get into the, so I think we've established that tonality really matters. Like it's a really, 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 really important thing. And so to me, the first step of tonality is kind of the dropping of the enthusiasm, the excitement, the kind of like the cheesy, the, let's say the archetypal or the stereotypical salesperson, which is like, hey, how are you doing today, John? Like, you know, it's great over here. Beautiful day. You know, like this kind of like over the top, overly compensatory tone. We've got to drop that stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I remind our members a lot is that it's off-putting to prospects because there's actually nothing to be excited about yet, especially the beginning of the sale. You don't know if this person's a fit, and it just comes across as really pushy for the prospect.
Yeah, and it's like, it's betraying a lack of confidence, right? It is amazing too, because like I've had the opportunity to be in a lot of office spaces, particularly kind of pre-pandemic, where you would have like tens, hundreds of reps in one open area. And like you can almost with 100% certainty tell if a rep is talking to a prospect or if they're talking to someone that they know personally, like from their personal life, like their wife or their kid. You know, you can just always tell because it's like they're talking to their wife and they're like, hey, can you pick up the groceries? Boom, boom. They talk to a prospect. Hey, John, Mark Weishak here. How are you? Like, it's just crazy how it's, I don't know why people fall into that trap, but it's like the first step to getting the tonality correct.
And one of the other things that I like to call out, because I think people have a lot of experience with like kids or dogs, when you're coming in and you're like super excited or you're excited because you're nervous. Kids, dogs, and prospects can all see right through that stuff. And they're just going to be like, hey, like, you know, what's going on here? And, you know, at least with dogs, there is a chance that you get bit if you're coming in with that super chaotic kind of like, isn't everything great? Aren't we going to be great? Because they just don't tend to like that very much.
Yeah. And I think that kind of leads to this next piece, which we're kind of jumping around out of order here. But like, I think one of the reasons that people have this unreal tonality is because it's like almost a defense mechanism. Like they're protecting themselves from potential rejection. And so just being like authentic is like a real type of rejection. And so I think it's just so many people change because they're just nervous or scared. And it's like recognizing that that prospect cannot hurt you, cannot attack you, cannot like do anything physically to you, I think is a really important.
Yeah. And it's funny. I have an old call audio that we shared with our members where I'm just like, I sound like I sucked in helium. I put my voice like 10 octaves higher. I'm talking really fast. And the level of enthusiasm is just like, I'm like punching the prospect in the face with it in this call audio. And when I think back to like, what are the things that drove that bad strategy on my part? It was really like, if I come in nice enough and if I sound friendly enough, maybe they'll hear me out. This is a completely different space to operate in versus the one that we coach and that we mentor about with our sales strategy, which is coming in with value. The goal isn't to come in and be their friend and sound super nice. It's to come in and provide so much value that they really, really want to continue that conversation.
Yeah. And what does that look like? I mean, let's just kind of like paint a little bit of a picture. Like what is coming in with value versus coming in with enthusiasm? What's the distinction look like to you?
It's a great question. So enthusiasm, I would say, is a focus on me and why you should like me. When you come into the, and you start the conversation based on value, it's about what's important to them and what they're going to get out of the conversation. And trust me, they do not want a new friend out of a conversation with a salesperson. That's just a false premise. But if you come in and you say, hey, prospects, you know, basically you've got this challenge. You know, we're seeing a lot of this challenge. Are you experiencing that? Then you can have an authentic communication and conversation that's not based on them not wanting to hurt your feelings, which at the end of the day is what this enthusiasm gets. I mean, look, most people aren't jerks and they're not going to hang up on somebody that's like trying to be really excited and do their job, but you don't want to book appointments based on pity. You want to book appointments based on the fact that you can actually help this person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's what we always talk about. It's funny. I recently posted something on LinkedIn about basically saying that like focusing on relationships is just like the wrong thing to focus on. And it's crazy. I don't know if you saw, but like, I just got like tons of people being like, no, relationships are so important. They matter. And where I'm from. And it's like, dude, of course relationships, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with having a relationship with a client. But like, if your focus is on building a relationship with a prospect, you're focused on the wrong thing. Because like, what we should really want them to focus on, the prospect to want, is value, the value of what we're selling, or the value of the, not even what we're selling, but like the value of the kind of the change that we're going to create for them. That's all that matters. Whether they think we're like the greatest person and they invite us to their kid's bar mitzvah, or whether they, you know, never want to talk to us again after they buy, like, who cares?
And that's really coming back to, and I know that we've talked about it before in the podcast, but it comes back to this concept of doctor's mindset. Doctors are going to have a good bedside manner, and they're going to be your friend to the point where they need to get their job done and help you. But taking it outside of that realm and trying to be even friendlier, first of all, it feels weird. Second of all, it's actually not something they're even allowed to do professionally. So I think that anybody who's really trying to just make sales based on relationships alone isn't confident about how they're delivering value, and they need to connect it to some tertiary thing in order for them to feel comfortable and confident in their selling space, which is hard because, goodness, a friendship takes time and it takes work, and it takes work that is in a different flavor of actually providing a solution to your prospect's challenges. So it's almost like you're doing extra work and the prospect's not getting anything out of it.
Right. So I think that's kind of, to me, the next piece to just think about, and we've kind of talked about it already a little bit, but it's just about finding your comfort. You know, use the analogy of dogs, kids, and prospects. And, you know, in the lab, we talk, the analogy I always use is like a bear, right? You run into a bear in the woods, and like, if you are afraid, they sense it right away, just like dogs, kids, and prospects as well. So I guess it really all fits into the same analogy. And it's like, the more comfortable you are, the more they are going to open up, like to not feel guarded. And you know, using the animal analogy, I don't know if you've ever seen these videos. There's like a couple of different animal trainers that go literally into like the Sahara of Africa, and they like play with lions, and they're like, they're like best friends with this like lion family. And it's insane. When you first watch this guy like walk up to a family of like real non-domesticated, like actually in the wild lions. And it's like, it's the ultimate example of just someone who's so comfortable. Cause like, I'm telling you, like if you or me just like went with him, like they would just eat us because we'd be so afraid. And it's like just creating that comfort in the environment of a prospecting call or, you know, face to face with a prospect or whatever it is going to just disarm people so much.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I listen to a lot of call audio, and goodness, sometimes it just sounds like the prospect, the salesperson thinks that the prospect is holding their puppy hostage. And terrible things are going to happen if they don't get this person to be their friend. And that's not the case. Like, I think it's important that people keep in mind that whatever outcome of that single experience is, does not determine the health of your puppy or the direction of your future. Like, things are going to happen. You're going to have good calls. You're going to have bad calls. And taking the pressure off of this one instance is incredibly important so that you can approach things in a way that is a little bit more objective and a little bit more in that leadership space versus a begging space.
And I mean, that really makes me think, like, you know, this idea that it just, the outcome of a specific interaction does not matter. And so like using a different analogy kind of in sports, which I know you always love my sports analogies, but like, if you think of like realistically, like a great close ratio for a good salesperson, and of course it matters what industry and what you're selling and all that, but let's just say it's about 25%, which is generally, you know, depending on the quality of the leads, that's probably fair. So if like the goal is a 25% close ratio, it means that you're going to lose 3 out of 4 sales. So it's like using this analogy of sports is like baseball. Like if every time you got up to bat, you were like petrified for your life that if you strike out, it's like the end of the world, like you're going to be horrible. And so it's like just recognizing, like, yeah, we're going to strike out. Like, and by the way, that's not always me. It's not like me striking out. It's just like, might not be a fit. They might be a jerk. Maybe I do screw up. Like, who cares? Right? It's just like, there's a lot of things that are happening and it's like, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we talk a lot about babies learning to walk. And the reason why everyone is okay with a baby who's learning to walk, falling or hitting their head or crying, and nobody chastises that baby, nobody says you're never going to do it, is because all of us know eventually the kid's most likely going to learn to walk. It's not this big, stressful thing. So if we have, and this is where strategy comes back into it, because if you know the activities that you have to do to make sales happen, and you bring it into the space of tactics instead of like, I wonder how many calls I'm going to make today. Then you have a tactical foundation that, you know, if I just do these things, I'm going to get to my goal. And that's what makes falling that much easier to handle, because you know that falling is part of the game.
Totally. I love it. All right. Well, any final thoughts on this? Because obviously this is a big conversation, but I'm sensitive to our time here. What would you kind of close out on here?
I think practice and role play is the game changer. I think that if you're only getting into these spaces where you're facing this kind of like monster of your mindsets and your tonality in a sales situation, I mean, that's a really good way to have the improvement process take a long time. Bring it into a space where you're starting to role play, where you're starting to practice. I love this concept of like internal role play where you're imagining the scenario out. I do know they do this in basketball sometimes where they're kind of like visualize the game and winning. So yeah, like you've got to get like actual role play in. You lose nothing when you lose a sale or you lose a call in role play. If you practice in role play in that space where the stakes are low, you're going to be so much better when you're actually in a real sales situation.
Totally. I agree. Yeah. I mean, you've got to get practice. You've got to, in order to kind of dial in that tonality and that comfort, you just need to, you know, using your basketball analogy, you know, Larry Bird famously would just, you know, practice his free throws more than anyone else. And it's like, that's how in the game you're good, is because you've practiced a million times. Well, this was a fun topic. I think a really important topic that I don't think gets enough conversation around using tonality to disarm your prospects. And ultimately, it's one of those things that really anyone can implement. It's just kind of working to it, listening to your call recordings, listening to your voice and the modulations, and ultimately being able to dial it down to get to that place where you just sound so comfortable and so in your element that the prospect's just like, yeah, let's talk. All right. Thanks, Tiffany.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Want more tactical advice on selling? Register for our free video training on the 5-step formula to closing more deals without price pushback, think it overs, or ghosting. Simply visit closing.training to get instant access. That's closing.training to get instant access.